But first, while a 4.9% unemployment rate sounds like good news for the federal government, Australia's underemployment rate is currently sitting at 8.1%. We're currently experiencing the slowest sustained rate of wage growth since the end of the Second World War. According to almost 125 experts, the invisible hand won't explain the slow growth of our wages, but a look at the policies and institutions that shape our wages will. Nadine Silver investigates.
Australia currently has an underemployment rate of 8.1%. But what exactly is underemployment? Barbara Pocock is an emeritus professor at the Business School of the University of South Australia. According to her, workers are underemployed when they are working fewer hours than they want to. These workers could be working full-time at 35 hours instead of 40. They could be working part-time instead of full-time, or part-time for 10 hours a week instead of 20. Miss Pocock is one of many people who, for the last 23 years, has made appearances at every Senate or major inquiry into changes into our industrial relations law. She says, what we've seen is a one-way shift in the way our bargaining and industrial system operates.
Which gives more power to employers and less power to individual workers. For example, workers in Australia now have very, very limited ability to take any strike action. And that's really important for workers to be able to withdraw their labour in the bargaining for wages.
According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, women make 60% of the underemployed. Miss Pocock notes that underemployment is concentrated in the retail, healthcare and hospitality industries.
They're the sectors where lots of people want more working hours because they're insecure, they can't predict their working time and they just can't make a living. So it's a structural problem about where women actually work in occupation and industry, which means they're more affected by the problem of underemployment.
While Ms. Pocock believes the excessive powers of employers is an international problem, she says we need to address the challenges on our home soil, such as our labour law system that has shifted the balance way too much against workers and in the interest of employers.
And that's in the form of black letter law, which, you know, is our industrial relations law itself, which, you know, makes taking industrial action very difficult, makes winning a pay rise very difficult. But we also have much more subtle things too, like massive growth in insecurity in our employment relationships, which makes it really hard for anyone to stand up for themselves. So it's a combination of both the nature of the labour market we're in now, as well as the black letter industrial law that we live under.
Last week, Dr. Jim Stanford, economist and director of the Centre for Future Work, initiated an open letter on the benefits of promoting faster wage growth. The letter was signed by 124 labour market, employment relations and labour law researchers. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has promised further tax cuts will be announced in next week's federal budget. But Dr. Stanford doesn't believe the solution is sustainable.
There's no way that a tax cut in a budget can offset the damage that's been done by years of wage stagnation. So in the first place, when your taxes are cut, you're generally giving up something at the same time. You think you're getting more money in your wallet, but you will also experience a smaller degree of public services and public programs. So it's not like the tax cuts are free.
Dr. Stanford says a tax cut can only really reduce your taxes one time, where else with wages, there's an increase in 1 year, which is then compounded by a further increase the next year.
So over time, there's no way that a tax cut can offset the economic damage that's been done by wage stagnation. At best, it's a kind of one-time gimmick to try to make people feel a bit better. But in the long run, we have to get your wages growing if we really want Australians to have a higher standard of living.
The letter indicates four or five different areas that governments could be acting on in order to get wages growing. One of them that Dr. Stanford says he finds really intriguing is the idea of strengthening our minimum wage laws so they actually pay a living wage.
The idea of a living wage is that the minimum wage would be set at a high enough level that anyone who had a job full-time throughout the year would not be living in poverty. So it's a way of tying the minimum wage to the actual costs of providing for a decent standard of life. And that idea of a living wage, I think, is really catching on. And I think it would be a very important first step towards improving wage growth in the whole economy.
Dr. Jim Stanford, economist and director of the Centre for Future Work, ending that report by Nadine Silver.